Welcome to Christmas in July. We had a teen meeting and we sang Christmas songs for the teen. I'm not sure what, there's got to be something going on maybe I don't know about, but we ski trip, that's what we're after. Okay. All right, Dave is taking everybody skiing, so anyway, no, because I know whose charge card he would use, but anyway, we sang such spiritual deep songs as Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and what else did we sing? I don't remember, but anyway, changed our lives, all of us. Romans chapter 6, Romans 6 and verse 16. For such a time as this, 2013 theme, month of July, a time for service. This morning we talked about the origin of service. Tonight we talk about the options of service, Romans 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And then Joshua 24 and verse 15. Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The options of service. Father, I pray that you will bless now the preaching time, that you'll call our attention to the Scripture, and because of the Scripture that we'll pay attention, and that you will speak to our hearts. Guide us into the truth. Help us, Lord, to choose to serve you. And I pray that everybody here would do that and that we'd be very, very busy serving you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about this morning how we're bought with a price and how that it is our reasonable service to serve God. It just makes sense. It's an honor. It's a privilege. We went through that and spent quite a bit of time on that this morning. Tonight, though, we talk about the options of service because there is a choice in it. Joshua very clearly said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he said, here's my choice. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to serve. You say, no. I do my own thing. No, you serve a master. It's very clear in Scripture. The Bible says that one is your master, and the Bible, that's in Matthew 23. In Matthew 6, the Bible says no man can serve two masters. So we choose a master. Okay, it can be, you can call it, as it's called here, sin unto death, obedience unto righteousness. You can call it being made free from sin. You became servants of righteousness. However you want to put it, but we all have an option. There's an option. We have an option of who we're going to serve. It seems that when we get saved, we would just be automatic. That's what I was preaching about this morning. I love God. God loved me, sent his son to die for me, paid a price so I could be saved. It just makes sense. I'll serve God. But yet, God says, no. He said, it does make sense. And God says, it is just reasonable. It just is the right thing to do. But God still says, you have a choice. And every day we get up, we have to decide, okay, who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve the devil? Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve the flesh? Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve the world? Who is going to be my master? And so I want to just kind of put that together and talk about that a little bit tonight and just show you some things, especially if it's Christ. If we decide, and certainly it's a Sunday night, and I don't think anybody in here is a sinner on Sunday night. But the truth is we all know we're sinners. But again, let's just take for granted maybe that we're all, okay, we want to serve Christ. And so let me just look at some things that are involved in it. Number one is the servant's authority. The servant's authority. And again, we're bought with a price, so there is a master. Now, you know, we are the ones that have to decide which master we're going to serve. And I know most of the world is saying, I serve nobody. I serve me, or I'm doing my own thing. And they really believe that, and they really think that way. But let's try to understand making Jesus our master. He is the master, by the way. But let's try to understand what Joshua was saying when he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. He said, I choose Christ. I'm choosing the Lord. This is my choice. And by choosing him, he is my master. Now again, this is what bothers a lot of Christians. And it's sad that it's like that. Because we just don't grasp the idea that we are bought with a price. We are not our own. And what we really need to do tonight is we need to get on an altar tonight, if we've never done it, and just say, God, you are my master. You are my authority. I am the servant. You are the master. And whatever you say is what I do. It would make all the difference in the world. I'm serious. You would not have to fidget when the sign-up sheet came around, you know? You wouldn't have to, that hair wouldn't have to bristle on the back of your neck when the pastor says, hey, we have this thing to do. You know, it just would be one of those things where we realize, okay, God, you're my master. It's a matter of saying, you want me to do that or not? I'll do it, but do you want me to do it or not? God, do you want me on August 3rd, do you want me to sign up to help clean over at the school to do whatever needs to be done? God, do you want me to serve Kool-Aid in the fair tent? Do you want me to go soul winning at the fair tent? Do you, God, what do you want me to do? Brother Chase was mentioning, the Saturday morning when we set up, it's about 8 o'clock in the morning. He always needs people to help. Okay, it ought to be automatic. It ought to be something you say, okay, God, now preacher just said that. You're my master. Should I do that? Amen. You say, well, cartoons. But the servant's authority. Again, we're talking about service. We're talking about being a servant. Who is your authority? Who's your authority? I mean, your boss at work says, do this, and you do it. Boss at work says, okay, here's the hours you were to be here. You need to be here during those hours. Period. That's it. You be there. Okay, I mean, somebody is a master telling you this is because this is who you work for. Okay, are we willing to say, God, tell me when to be there. Tell me what time. Tell me what to do. I'm your servant. The servant's authority. When I was lost and the master snapped his fingers, I jumped. I did. You know, when I was lost and the master, he said, cuss and swear, I did. Watch this, I did. Do this, I did. It just, boom. Well, you said you kind of wanted to. Yeah, my flesh was calling at, you know, it wanted to do all that stuff too. Right? But see, now I'm saved. And now my spirit, every bit as much as my flesh wanted to do wrong, my spirit wants to do right. And my will simply has to choose in the morning, you're my master. What do you want me to do? You're my master, God. The servant's authority. Let me ask you, does he have authority over you? Are you in a servant master relationship with God? Because if you are, then sign-up sheets should be a blessing. Because it's a matter of just really all you have to do. By the way, is he the master of this yet? Because again, its offerings will not bother you as long if he's the master and you're the servant. Offerings would never bother you when you let that settle into your heart and your mind that this is yours, God. And it's so easy then when you just say, God, tell me what you want me to give. And you look in there and there's only one bill and it's a 20. And it's like, I guess that's what I'm, and again, we're not talking about tithing. We're just talking about a regular offering. And, oh, wow, that's okay. It's okay, because he's the master. Amen. Give of your best to the master. Right? Amen. Servant's authority. But yet, we struggle, and it's why Paul had to write, look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Be not ye the servants of men. What's that mean? Well, wait a minute, but I have a job, I've got to serve. Yeah, but who is your master? Now, your master may tell you to go serve that man. Your master may tell you, hey, you need to go into this job and do that job and do your very best at that job. But the whole idea is, who is your master? God says, being a servant of man, that's not enough. You know, well, I have my job, and well, I do this, but we're not to serve men, we're to serve him. He may guide you to serve men. He may guide you. By the way, people all over this room would testify, God gave me that job. You know, but is he the master or not? That's the question. Is he your master? We're so afraid to please men, but we don't think twice about pleasing our master. Well, we want our boss to be happy with us. We'll work extra hard to make sure we impress the boss. Or if we are in a contest, or we can win some kind of prize at work, maybe get a little bonus or something. Oh, you know, we're going to do all that because we want our master, our boss, to be happy. And God says, don't worry about them. Please me. And we don't think twice about our God. Do you think God would be pleased if 20 men and teen fellas showed up on Saturday morning, the 20th, to help set up the fair tent? Instead of it being the same five or six? Again, that's between you and your master. Amen. Amen. We are to glorify, we're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit. What's that mean? Bring glory to your master with my body. You know, again, master, are you pleased with my body? Are you pleased with how I look? Are you pleased with what I'm doing with this body that you've given me? The servant's authority. Number two, the servant's attitude. Again, we're a servant. We're a servant. Back to our text in Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse 16. It's a matter of attitude. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are, to whom ye obey. What? Okay, so every morning, stay with me now. Every morning, I yield myself to you, Master. Come on. You go to work and you say to your boss, maybe it's not like this. Maybe your boss already has assignments or things, or maybe you do the same thing every day, whatever it is. But somewhere along the line, a boss has an outline for your day. Okay, here's what you are to do today. And yet we think nothing of going a day without ever consulting our master. But it's an attitude. Okay, who do you serve? Well, I serve God. Really, did you this morning say, God, tell me what to do today? All day long. Plan my day for me. We plan vacations. We plan this. We plan that. We don't even take into consideration our master. You know, I love it when people put on their calendar vacation Bible school months before it ever takes place. It's just part of the... To me, that's somebody that said, Master, do you want me to be in vacation Bible school? I love it when people plan it. It's on the calendar, fair week. Not so you can ride the rides, but because you know this is a time your master may call on you. Amen. I love folks to set aside time during the week to go visit a bus route because they've asked the master, do you want me to do that? It's all an attitude. It's an attitude of, number one, yielding. It says, to whom ye yield yourselves. Come on. When you plop down in front of the television set and it runs your whole day, who's your master? When you plop down in front of the computer and it runs your whole day and then runs your whole night, who's your master? I mean, we're saying with our mouth, God's my master, but with our actions, we are yielding to another master. And we should yield to God. Now, God may say, take an hour and watch this. God may say, take some time and check your mail or your Facebook or whatever it may be. I mean, God, but when we just simply plop down and don't consult with God, who is our master, God, what do you want me to do with this next couple hours? Do you care if I watch the ball game? You're my master. Is there something you'd rather me do, God? It's just a matter of attitude. And I'm being very, I don't know that everybody would necessarily do it this way. I'm just saying it's a matter of yielding, and I'm being extra graphic here. Verse 19, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. It's a yielding. It's a when I was lost and I automatically just cussed and swore and did wicked things and watched things I shouldn't and went places I shouldn't and said things I shouldn't and all of that, what was I doing? I was just pretty much yielding to another master. Well, now that I'm saved, that should be my attitude, to simply yield to my Father in heaven and therefore do righteous things. To whom ye yield, he said. To whom ye yield. Back in Romans, in our text, he says in verse 19, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness. Now yield to righteousness. Just like you yielded to sin, now yield to righteousness. And I'll be honest, when I was lost, sin came along and I yielded to it pretty easy. Pretty easy. Yeah. Opportunities to sin. Oh, boy, it's amazing how easy this is going to be. And I yielded to it. And so now I have to yield to doing right and righteousness and serving God and simply yielding. Yeah, it's an attitude of yielding. But it's also an attitude of love. It's an attitude of how much do we love God. It's the more you walk and the more you spend time with God, the more you love God and the more you want to do for God. The more you want to please God. The more it's easier to yield to God. I mean, it's easy for me to yield to my wife. I kid around all the time about, my wife said I needed to do this and I do everything my wife says. I do everything my wife wants. It's easy to yield to her. When we were first married, it wasn't quite as easy to yield. Honey, could you pick up your shirts? Why? You're here. Whoa. By the way, guys, that is not... Joe? When that day comes, buddy, look out. But I mean... Honestly, I still. We were talking about this recently. I worked at RCA, and all I wore, I mean, T-shirts. That was my life. You know, I had every kind of color of T-shirt except pink, but I had all these T-shirts, and all the time she's saying, "Honey, could you pick up your T-shirt? Could you pick up your shirt? Please pick up your clothes. We have a dirty clothes hamper. You can put them in the dirty clothes hamper." And I'm thinking, "Oh, brother, here we go." But I'll never forget the night I'm looking around and she had told me the week before. She said, "Okay, if you're not going to pick them up, I'm not going to pick them up." And so I'm looking around one night and I get in my drawer and I said, "Hey, I got to go to work and I worked third shift, and I said, I need to go to work. Where's my tee? You know, I don't have any clean t-shirts. She said, they're wherever you left them. Sure enough, they were. There they were, a pile on my floor. And so I picked out the cleanest one. How do you know a t-shirt's clean or not? You sniff. And I found the one that sniffed the best. And I put it on and I went to work. And guess what? Since that day, my clothes go in the dirty clothes hamper. Always. Thank you. And but it's not just because, and certainly I'm not saying she's the master, but I don't want to disappoint her, and I don't want to wear stinky shirts. But you know, the more you love God, the easier it is to yield to God. You know, there have been times, and the more you love God, the more you trust God, because you know He loves you. He's not going to hurt you. That's why when we talk about surrendering to do anything God wants you to do, some people get all bent out of shape. You know, well, all the pastor ever talks about is full-time Christians. That is such hogwash. All the pastor ever talks about is being a full-time Christian. And just giving your life to God. If God wants you to be a doctor, be a doctor. If God wants you to be a lawyer, be a lawyer. But the whole thing is not, what do you want to do? It's what does my master want me to do? And just be willing to do it. That's what surrendering is. Every person in this room who is a Christian should at one time or another in your life, and you may even have done it many times, you should say, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. We get all bent out of shape over that, but how much do you love Him? I say all the time, I'll do anything my wife wants me to do that I can. If I can. You know, she's got all kinds of ideas. We were talking to Sarah, right, our visitor, and she's going to learn how to fly, and I'm trying to get her to talk my wife out of wanting to parachute. But if my wife said, honey, please, 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 would you parachute with me? Oh, man, I'd pray for the rapture over. No, I'd rather go up than come down. I'm serious. But if she really, I mean, she wants me to get in a hot air balloon with her, and people are dying doing that stuff. You know, the thing's going to explode, or I'm going to get tangled up in it, or it's going to burn up, and I'm going to be a crispy critter in the balloon, and I don't know. It just, thank you. But the thing is, you know, it's kind of like when we were dating. I bought her things trying to earn her love, and you do things like that. The thing with God is, we don't have to do anything to earn His love. We should serve Him because we love Him. Servant's authority, servant's attitude. Number three is the servant's activity. And Mark 13:34. Just write it down. It says, "To every man his work." And I preached it this morning. I don't have to re-preach it, but there's jobs that only you can do, that He made you to do. You're here to do. There are things. There's purpose in your life. There's something that if you don't do it, it won't get done. Or somebody else will have to work double to get it done. And your master knows all those things. He knows everybody. He knows each talent. He knows what it's going to take. He knows exactly what it's going to take to finish the fair week. Start to finish, He knows what's good. He knows, you know, we have the little lines, okay? We have all the little, okay, Kool-Aid this time, 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock. Soul winning, 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock with Kathy. 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock with Kathy. 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock with, no. But we have it all outlined that way. Brother Chase has that. But God knows when Kool-Aid server A can't make it. God knows when soul winner B, their car broke down and they can't make it. God has all that figured out. God knows who's supposed to be where. And all we need to do is just be busy. God, it's easier to move someone who's busy than someone who's standing still. 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's a good verse to write down. talking about service. 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What's he? There's not a whole lot you can do wrong in the work of the Lord. There's not a whole lot that is going to be empty or vain, vanity. There's not a whole lot. I mean, you can clean a toilet and it's glorious to God. It's a work of the Lord. You can sweep a floor and God says it brings glory to Him. You can, I mean, there's not a whole lot that is vain when your work is in the Lord. And so we get busy. Every now and then I'll have somebody say, "There's just nothing going on around here." And I just look at them like, "Why in the world am I so tired?" There's a lot going on. You just have to be willing to do it. There's always something going on. If there's not, we'll make it go on. I guarantee you want something to do, we'll find you something to do. There's people now that avoid Dale Stewart. People have for years, but now even more. Because Dale's got work for people to do all the time. I mean, you know, if it's not cleaning this or cleaning that or painting this or painting that or pulling this weed or putting on this door or whatever it is, that's such a blessing in a church. Amen. Such a blessing because that's something you can do. There's just so much we can do. Number four is the servant's ability. God did not give us the ability we have for the devil's use. Do you understand that? He did not give whatever ability, whatever talent you have, He didn't give you that so you could use it for the devil. He gave that to you so you could use it for Him. It always breaks my heart when somebody becomes a famous rock singer. Why? Because they have a beautiful voice that God gave them to glorify God, and they're glorifying the devil. Breaks my heart. It's so sad. And it's sad when I see people, you know, that God has given a talent to that will not use it to serve the master. And so we sit on our talent, and that's not using it. Or we use it for the world. That's not using it. Your ability. Your ability. In Luke 19, let's look at it. And several times in the Gospels, we have the story, the parable about the pounds and God giving these pounds. Luke 19, verse 13, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." What's that mean? I mean, go to work. Occupy, work. But he gave them the 10 pounds. Are you listening? I mean, when God gives the work, He gives the ability to do the work. He didn't say, "Okay, occupy, now figure it out." That's what Pharaoh did with the children of Israel when he said, "I'm not going to give you the straw anymore. You just have to go get it and figure it out." God doesn't do that. God says to us, "Okay, occupy, go to work, and here's 10 pounds." So I got a whole lot more than 10 pounds. No, but here's, you know, It's God. God gives us the ability to do whatever it is He wants us to do. A young person says, "I could never go to the mission field." Well, if you could never go to the mission field, I doubt that God will call you to the mission field. But if He does call you to the mission field, you can. Amen. You can. "Well, I could never work on a bus." Well, ask the Beinekes. They got to work on the Bailey's bus during vacation Bible school. Bless their hearts. Amen. I think they think this is punishment. It's punishment for new members, right? But no. But you know what? I could never. Yeah, but God won't call you to do something you can never do. Do you understand that? He would never have you do what you can't do. He'll give you the ability to do it. Workers, occupy till I come. Here's how you're going to do it right here. We have nothing to fear with our master. He is not a taskmaster. He's not cruel. He's not unkind. He has a job to do, and he knows what you can do. And he knows what you maybe can't do. He'll never tell you to do what you can't do. I go back to Phyllis in Vacation Bible School, and I can still see her holding up her hand like this, kind of timid, which Phyllis is not timid, and just kind of timid, and yet I said, Phyllis, I want you to do, and she talked. We talked a little bit about that, and the truth of the matter is, she could do it, because she did do it, and it was wonderful. And when you realize you can do these things for the master, it's wonderful. I stood as a freshman in college in speech class, and I stood and gave my very best speech, and my teacher, she put on my form that I looked like a penguin, because I kept doing that with my hands because I didn't know what I'm supposed to do with my hands. She said, quit making penguin motions. I said, what are you talking about? I'm serious. God, you called me to preach. I can't be a penguin preacher. Do you think God smiles? He does. But as soon as the words leave my lips, God, you called me to, I know that he's enabled me. Come on, folks. He's not going to put you in a bad situation. He's not a taskmaster. He's not cruel. He just wants you to understand, whatever I tell you to do, you can do it. I've given you the ability. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To profit with all. An ability to profit. An ability to occupy. An ability to do. And the faithful servant in the Gospels, he gained. Why? Because he did. He just did. Wait, the one servant? Oh, I took what you gave me and I buried it. But here's what you gave me. God didn't want what he gave him. God wanted him to gain. And God doesn't want what he gave you. He wants you to gain with it. Amen. All the resources that you need are available. All the abilities that you need, they are available. Because God knows what he's doing when he tells you what he wants you to do as the master. Moses couldn't speak, but he's the greatest leader other than Jesus. How do you explain that? Moses' argument. God says, I want you to lead my people. But God, I can't speak. You talk about Penguin Rogers. Moses was, you know, he's the stuttering servant. He would have flunked speech class. He wouldn't have got to the time limit. You know? He couldn't, you know. And yet, wow, what a great leader. I don't see it in the Hebrew that he stuttered when he said, "Let my people go." He may have stuttered every other thing. What do you want to eat, Moses? Bacon and eggs and hash browns and pancakes. But those things didn't matter. What mattered was, let my people go. I don't know, Aaron may have looked at him like, what'd you say? I said, okay, never mind, Moses. I got it. But when it came time, crunch time, he led. Amen. David was a boy when he killed Goliath. John the Baptist was a wild man. Paul had to go minister and reach all the churches, having been the one that persecuted him. It's just unbelievable. Think about it. You know, how many times have you said, I can't? And then you did. And you did, right? But maybe the best thing in the world that we ever say is, I can't, because God says, okay, but I can. Amen. And if you'll just yield, I will. Amen. And it's never ending. Lo, I am with you always. You see, our ability, he's always there. Just listen, folks, it's the month of service. Serve him. Amen. Let him be your master. I close with the last thing. Number one, the servant's authority. Number two, the servant's attitude. Number three, servant's activity. Number four, the servant's ability. And number five is the servant's accomplishment. One of these days, it's going to all be over. Isn't that exciting? It is going to be all over. I mean, it's going to be done. Matthew 25, 21, look at it. I don't know what this is like, but the closer I get to Jesus, the more precious this thought is to me. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. As we share the Master's work and trials and everything that's involved in all of that, do you understand we also share the accomplishment? And I've read the end of the book, we win. When it's all over and all the smoke's cleared, we win. It's our King on the throne. And I would much rather be the servant of the King on the throne than the servant of the King in the lake of fire. Any day. We win. We have a great reward now because serving God is the happiest and the most joyful thing that we can possibly do. But the truth of the matter is, one of these days, it's going to be better than that. Watching lives change, what a great thing. But in heaven, being with the life that was changed, what a great thing. What a great reward. I remember Dad got his 25-year watch at RCA. And he was so excited, and I went with him to the dinner, and they said a lot of nice things, and he got his 25-year watch. We have people here that have 25-year watches and awards and different things, working at some Ford and GM and different places like that. And that's a nice thing. You know, a plaque or something like that, 25 years or 30 or whatever it may be, a retirement thing. Those are all nice. I've got a few things like that. When we left our church in Bern, Indiana, they gave me a nice watch, and it had scripture on the back and everything. And it's somewhere. I'm not sure. Don't wear it anymore. I've received different things like that, different plaques and things. You have too. Everybody has, and those are all nice. Like I said, the watch, it's somewhere. I'm not sure. Someday it'll be basically nowhere because it won't go with me there. It's a nice thing. Nice. I wear the teens under Brother Varnum when he was the youth director. The teens gave me this citizen watch, and every Sunday I wear this watch. Every Sunday. Ever since, I don't remember when that was. It's been 6, 7 years maybe, something like that. I've wore this watch. This is my, I think it's my second band, watch band. It's the only time I wear this watch is when I preach. And it's a very special watch. I can't see it. If you did carve anything on the back, I can't see it anyway. Don't know if you did you? You could say you did. I wouldn't know. But anyway, it's very special to me because the teens under Brother Barnum's leadership, they gave me this watch. It's very special to me, but I know this. When the rapture takes place, let's say the rapture took place right now, it would just fall to the floor, done. That's it. It's nice. I like it. I appreciate it. But it isn't going to go with me there. Your plaques that you have, they're great. Some of you, you know, at your work, you've got a plaque, you've got an award, you've received this and that, and it's wonderful, it's good. But it doesn't go with you there. You know, you do understand the Antichrist is going to melt down all of our awards when the rapture takes place, you know? And by the way, we've all heard some oohs and ahs, right? And now Brandon Jordan has received the award for the most goals ever in soccer at Berean Baptist Academy. And everybody, ooh, ah. And the oohs and the ahs, they drift off into the distance. And someday he'll be old and fat and nobody will ever, they won't even think about it. Right? It's nice. It's wonderful. But it doesn't go there. Do you understand? But what we do for Jesus, that goes there. That's eternal. When you win a soul to Jesus, that soul is eternal. When you do a little job, that little glass of water in the name of Jesus, the things that we do, those all go there. Somebody said, what are we going to do in heaven? Can you imagine all the people that we've affected, influenced, and they're all going to come up and say, boy, I'm sure glad you were there, and you don't even know you were there. But you were there. And that's in heaven. All the things that we do here on this earth, I'm not saying don't be happy that you did it. I'm not saying it's not, you know, the oohs and the, when somebody says, ooh, that was good. You know, that's, praise the Lord, that is good. But it doesn't last. But what we do for Jesus, our Master, that lasts for all eternity. And I just encourage you. I just encourage as we talk about serving the Lord, we'll be presenting different ways to serve the Lord. I would encourage you to consider the servant's authority. Is he your master? Servant's attitude. You know, I yield. I yield to you, God, but more than that, I'm going to love you so much that it's going to be fun to serve you. Servant's activity. I'm going to be very, very busy serving my master. Servant's ability. I'm not going to be afraid of anything that he tells me to do. He'll give me the ability to do it. And one of these days, we're going to all be together and we'll see the accomplishments. And it's going to be, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be absolutely, the last Olympics, that was pretty fancy. They did some pretty neat things. You know, the lighting of the torch and all that. That's pretty exciting. But it's nothing compared to the judgment seat of Christ when the awards are given out. There isn't an awards ceremony on this earth that's even close to when he gives his rewards and when we cast our crowns at his feet. Let's bow our heads, please. The options of service. Who do you serve?